In a world full of lies and deception, it takes courage to speak truth. In a nation half-bent on its own destruction, it takes honor to seek a return to glory. Join us in cutting through the lies and propaganda. It's time for Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network. Here is your host, Wallace Garneau.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Wallace Garneau, and I've got some very good news for you. The Department of Homeland Security has decided that our elections are critical infrastructure and that it must do what it can to preserve our democracy. This means that it is going to combat what it considers misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And it's going to do so specifically as it relates to our upcoming election. Now, what are misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation? Well, misinformation, that's things that people may say that they believe to be true. They say it fully believing wholeheartedly they are speaking the truth, but it turns out they're wrong. Disinformation, that's when you say something that you know is not true, and you're trying to fool people with it. That's flat-out lying. I think most of us would agree that that's wrong, though we may not believe that the government should be out there trying to suppress it. The last one's interesting. Of course, we've talked about these things before. It's just new that we're talking about it as critical infrastructure. That's malinformation. What is malinformation, you ask? Well, that's when you say something that's true, but that may make people believe things that are wrong or that are problematic or that our government doesn't like. So, for example, talk about all three. If I wanted to talk about misinformation, I might say that Donald Trump won the 2020 election. Donald Trump did not win the 2020 election. It is misinformation to say so, believing that it's true, that is. If I said that and I believed it to be true, when I said Donald Trump won the 2020 election, that would be misinformation. The truth is that our election system is kind of complicated in terms of everything that actually happens. We elect the electors elect the president, and then Congress certifies the results. Congress certified the result as Joe Biden winning the 2020 election. Therefore, anything that happened before that, the election was determined by the Electoral College and Congress certifying it, is what I'm saying, and Joe Biden won that. Whatever else happened is not relevant constitutionally in terms of who the correct president is or who technically won the election. So Joe Biden won the election. It's misinformation to say otherwise, assuming you believe it to be true. If you know it's not true and you still say that Joe Biden lost the election, well, now you are giving disinformation because you're saying it intentionally, knowing that it's wrong. I would say that it's also disinformation. This might be a better case of disinformation. When government sources tell us that 2020 was the fairest, safest, most secure election in American history, well, I'm sorry, that's a flat-out lie. It was not fair. It was not secure. There were steps taken amongst many states, my own included. You know, in Michigan, I have neighbors, two adults in the household. They've got young children. They're a good 10 years younger than me. And they got six ballots. Not just one house. They got six ballots for two people. So, and the mail-in ballots in Michigan, you did not have to do anything to get them. They mailed them to everybody. My wife and I got mail-in ballots. We threw them away. We went and we voted in person because that's how we roll. But we did get sent mail-in ballots. They sent everybody mail-in ballots. Many houses, they sent too many. There's a graveyard nearby. I don't know how many mail-in ballots were sent there, but surely all of the dead people voted Democrat. Proud to say my dad voted Democrat. He's been dead now for about 4 years. He hasn't missed an election. So, no, that's the way it works. Anybody who says that the election was safe, secure, and fair, I'm sorry, that's disinformation. It was not. And because of the DHS, I have questions as to whether or not 2024 will be. The third piece, there are malinformation. Well, I just gave you what the federal government would say is malinformation because I just made you question the integrity of our election system in 2020 and the integrity of what our election system will be in 2024. Department of Homeland Security, because of that, is probably going to try to suppress this message. Now, it's unconstitutional for the Department of Homeland Security to suppress it themselves. They can't go online and pull it down. What they can do is they can go to Facebook, they can go to X, formerly known as Twitter. I'll always call it Twitter. I don't know about you. To me, X is it's a letter. It's not a platform. So to me, it's Twitter. I still, you know, when I go to Twitter, I tweet. I don't go to X and mark the spot or whatever. It's Twitter and it's tweet. Always will be to me. So anyway, they can go to Twitter and they can say, you know what, you should pull this down. I don't want people to see this. They can go to Facebook and Twitter and other social media sites and they can say, you know, this Wallace Garneau guy, bad actor. I don't like the things that he says. It's malinformation in the sense that it goes against the narrative. It goes against what we think makes our country safe, secure, whatever it is they want the country to be. And they can say, it's okay if you put him up there because we don't want him to know that he's being banned. But we want you to shadow ban him. We don't want his stuff to spread. So please, when somebody shares it, don't put it in other people's feeds where they're going to see it. Do what you can to make sure nobody sees this guy. And that, in fact, has happened to me. Up until a couple, two, three, maybe 4 years ago, if I posted something to Facebook, I could expect at least 1,000 people to share it. I know that because I used to have my own personal blog. I'd put things out there. And even a bad article, something that I looked at and wasn't real proud of, would get at least 1,000 people seeing it. So I know how many would see it. Today, I get maybe a tenth of that. And the only thing that's changed is that they've implemented shadow banning on Facebook. So the number of people that are seeing my content or responding to my content, they're able to share my content, it's fallen through a floorboard. And that's not because I'm doing anything different. It's not because I all of a sudden forgot to write. It's not because I am almost 80 years old and have dementia, can't climb stairs, and can't count to the number of people who actually voted for me. It's none of those things. The reason is because Facebook is actively acting to suppress it. X, not anymore. I'm not seeing that kind of suppression on Twitter. And thankfully, that now is becoming one of the places where I see the most people looking at my content. Twitter more so now than Facebook. But I still have far more followers on Facebook than I do on Twitter. And you know, it's a shame that that's what happens. But the driving force behind that is not truly Facebook. The driving force behind that is actually the Department of Homeland Security and the government in general. The Biden administration is working hand in arm with different Democrat organizations. They are paying them to do things like get out the vote campaigns. They're paying college campuses, students in college campuses, on get out the vote campaigns to register people to vote and all these different things. But they're only going through Democrat leading organizations, and they're only doing it in areas where they are apt to get more Democrat voters. So we have a federal government that is actively involved in growing the election, but only in Democrat areas, and suppressing the growth of the election in non-Democrat leading areas. We see all the lies going on about Donald Trump, all the lies about Joe Biden, all of it. This is directed. This is not Twitter and Facebook just deciding to do it. Twitter, incidentally, not doing it so much. But in 2020, I got to tell you, Twitter had between 30 and 50 different offices that were held by members of the FBI. Their sole job was to go through things on Twitter and tell Twitter what to take down, what to suppress, what to shadow ban, what have you. So the federal government was actually directly involved. They had offices at Twitter where they were doing that. That's probably actually unconstitutional. And the reason I'm bringing this up at the start of my show is because it digs into what I really want to talk about today. And what I really want to talk about today is how terrorism is becoming maybe not the largest topic that is going to decide who wins the 2024 election, and probably elections well beyond that, but certainly one of the largest topics that will decide that. We could talk about the economy. We can talk about illegal immigration. We could talk about lots of different things. But terrorism is certainly what the Democrats are running on front and center in their campaign, January 6th and what have you. You know, they refer to Americans to patriotic Americans such as myself as terrorists. An interesting conversation along these lines with my kids. They asked me if I think that the Federal Reserve and our banking system control our economy. And I said, well, control the economy is an interesting way to phrase it because control, you know, they influence it in a way that leans toward control, but they don't control it directly. They control interest rates when the Federal Reserve started buying housing mortgage-backed securities, which they started to do, I guess, about 8 years ago now. They began to influence not only interest rates overall, but they began to influence interest rates in specific industries. At some point, you have to say that they're engaged in central planning. And I told my kids, I said, yeah, you could say that they are, if not completely controlling the environment, they're having an undue influence on it to the degree that it starts to look like control. What my kids told me is, Dad, that's an adjacent belief. That belief is held by white supremacists and neo-Nazis and all of these groups. You actually have beliefs that are adjacent to white supremacists and neo-Nazis. And they asked me, how does that make you feel to know that you share views with neo-Nazis and white supremacists? And I thought about it for a second because nobody's ever told me I have adjacent beliefs to horrific groups. And then it occurred to me that the concept of an adjacent belief is kind of garbage. I mean, I'm going to guess that neo-Nazis believe that Joe Biden has a German Shepherd that has bitten members of his security, his Secret Service detail, to the degree that they had to have the dog removed from the White House. Now, that is probably a belief held by such groups because it's true, and there's no reason for anybody not to believe it. It's been reported throughout the media, including the mainstream media, CNN, you know, MSNBC, what have you. Late-night talk show hosts have guessed about the biting dog, all that. So there's no question that it's true, but neo-Nazis and white supremacists believe it. So I guess if you believe that Joe Biden's dog has bit people, then you have adjacent beliefs. If you believe Hitler lost World War II, guess what? Neo-Nazis agree with you. Maybe they don't agree that he should, but they do agree that he did. So if you believe that Hitler lost World War II, you have adjacent beliefs. And I told my kids, I'm willing to bet you believe things that neo-Nazis and white supremacists and other terrible groups also believe. And so, you know, they weren't very open to hearing examples of that. So I started bringing up some of the things that other abhorrent groups believe. Black Lives Matter, for example, Antifa. And when I say Black Lives Matter, I want to be very clear here, and I wish I didn't have to do this, but the country we live in today, people just lose their minds if you just say something a little bit wrong, and they'll try to twist things based, people take things out of context. It's crazy that you actually have to make these kinds of statements. But let me make the statement just to be absolutely clear. Of course I believe Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. The name Black Lives Matter for that organization may be the greatest piece of propaganda occurring in the world today. Because if you don't agree with the organization Black Lives Matter, people could look at you and say, oh, so you don't think Black Lives Matter? Well, yes, I think Black Lives Matter. But I also think that communism has killed more people than smallpox, and that's what Black Lives Matter wants. So Black Lives Matter can kiss my ass, the organization that is. But, of course, black lives do matter. So, you know, I hate that you even have to say that as you give a podcast or a radio show, because you should be able to speak your mind and people should be able to parse out. Well, he's not saying black lives don't matter. He's saying the organization Black Lives Matter is essentially a terrorist organization, along with Antifa. Same thing with Antifa. If I say, well, I hate Antifa, people say, oh, well, you must be a fascist because you hate the anti-fascists. Well, that's an interesting concept because Hitler had his brown shirts, and that's essentially what Antifa is, the brown shirts of the left. And if you look at, and I've done this before in some articles on the network, I don't think I've done it in a show, but I've done it in some articles on the network where I've actually listed out the pillars that the Nazis ran on in 1932, I think it was. And I spelled out exactly how they align with the Democrat Party today. And if you strip out all of the anti-Jew things, it is the Democrat Party today. And interestingly, if you put the anti-Jew things in today, and then you start listening to what people on the radical side of the left are saying on college campuses, actually protesting. What you look at the things, for example, that in my home state, I go down to Dearborn or I go down to Hamtramck and I see the protests. Protests from those specific areas that helped Joe Biden turn his back on Israel. He's now calling for a ceasefire with Hamas before Hamas has been totally destroyed. You know, I look at these things and, well, that's what's driving him. That's what's driving his policies is. So you can say that it's not just on the fringe that the mainstream Democrats, such as the presidency of the United States, you could say that that's being driven by it. So, yeah, all of a sudden now, I don't even necessarily have to take out all of the anti-Semitism from the planks the Nazis ran on in 1932 to say that this is what the Democrats are running on today. Now, they'll say we're the fascists, but that's just not true. You know, I've actually had Democrats tell me, I've had people on the left tell me that Rand Paul is adjacent to white supremacists and adjacent to neo-Nazis. And I'm like, wait a minute here. So you're telling me that Hitler believed in personal liberties, that Hitler was a libertarian? No, I don't think so. I think Hitler was a totalitarian that believed that the people were owned by the state and that they should do everything they could to propel the state, including give their lives, which is why so many of them were willing to join his war machine and go out and fight the world. So, you know, when you hear things about how something is adjacent to these radical groups, or you hear things about how Hitler was a libertarian or something absurd like that, just understand that people are talking smoke and mirrors, that they don't have any idea what they're talking about. They know Hitler's a bad guy, so of course he must be a conservative. That's the way they're looking at it. And you just have to blow that off and start speaking truth. And if you can, try to turn people around. When I told my kids that they had beliefs that were adjacent to Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and started telling them that Antifa was the equivalent of Hitler's brown shirts and that Black Lives Matter wasn't any different, you know, I started to get them to see that it's possible to have beliefs other people have or other that specific groups have without being a member of those groups. So, yeah, the Federal Reserve has way too much authority over our economy. They're doing things that exert way too much influence over economy, including now in specific industries. I don't care who believes that. It's true. So adjacent, nothing. But terrorism specifically. There was an article in the Daily Wire, I guess about a week ago now, referred to a book by Swedish professor Andreas Malm. The book is titled How to Blow Up a Pipeline. And I haven't counted the number of colleges that how to blow up a pipeline is required reading for at least one course within. But it's got to be somewhere around 10 or 15 at the minimum. This book is being used in the City University of New York. It's being used at the University of California, Berkeley. It's being used at Arizona State University. It's being used at the University of California, San Diego. It's being used in the University of Washington. It's being used in Illinois State University. Next semester, supposedly, is going to start being used at The Ohio State University. And just in case anybody here is from The Ohio State University, I can tell you that in Michigan, we know Ohio State is a university and that Ohio is a state without needing words like state and the in the name. So Ohio State's going to start teaching now teaching people how to blow up a pipeline. Now, the interesting thing about this book is that the guy that wrote the book has been very open that when we start blowing up thousands of pipelines, it's going to mean people die, innocent people included. People are going to die. And he says, you know, bring it on. Unfortunately, they're not blowing up enough pipelines. We need to blow up more. I hope some people do die. That's a necessary part of doing business. Just blow it all up. At the University of California, Berkeley, they're actually using this in a class on geography and biology. The class is called Geography and Interactive Biology, and they say that biology is a part of colonialism, and they say within the syllabus that the class focuses on the scientific practice of modern botanical taxonomy as a colonial formation that conditions our modern relations. Plant names, according to the syllabus, were often forged to be in service to empire building. So when you call a tomato, apparently now that means that you're a colonialist and that, I don't know, the word tomato is racist. Maybe I guess the word avocado is racist. My wife likes lilies. I guess lilies are racist. Not the flowers, the word. So whatever you call a plant, they're saying, well, that's racist. All of the names we use are racist. And you know, I once heard somebody on CNN say that the word apartment was racist. It was a code word, rather. Well, they said, well, who lives in apartments? I thought it was funny at the time because I was living in an apartment, so... This is asinine, but this is the kind of crap that we see on mainstream media and that now we see throughout through the government sponsoring and trying to suppress people speaking against. That's what's happening. But this book, it goes against, it says, it teaches you how to blow up pipelines and tells you why you should do it. It also praises communism. And it praises Hamas's fight against Israel from the Gaza Strip. So now we're getting back into some anti-Semitism on the book. It's required reading in a course called Political and Human Survival, which tells students that unless we radically overthrow our free market system, this is a direct quote, everyone could die a terrible death. Other books required as a part of this class include Revolutionary Suicide, which is by Huey Newton of the Black Panthers. Between you and me, this is just garbage. Now, the Tooth Fairy is just as dangerous as pipeline. This is all garbage. It's almost as if people are making things up to try to turn Americans against Americans, which is, of course, true. And the thing is that on the Daily Wire article, they tried to make it sound, I shouldn't say tried to make it sound like, the article did make it sound like this is all new, that this book is something that's never happened before, and that we're seeing something new within the American politic. It's not really. The book is somewhat new. This specific book, something this blatantly out there, I mean, the title, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, that's kind of blatant. That's kind of in your face. But understand that for the last 20 years, the number one economics textbook used in American colleges has been the Communist Manifesto, followed closely by Das Kapital. Those are both books written by Marx and Engels. They're both books about how to destroy free market systems and bring in this magical utopia where everybody has everything they want and everybody lives off the efforts of everybody else. And so, you know, that's when you start teaching. When you start teaching communism is the number one thing on college campuses in economic classes, I could say that you're already off the rails. And we've been doing that for at least 20 years. Hillary Rodham, before she became Hillary Rodham Clinton, wrote a college dissertation on using Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals to Destroy the Country, not the way Saul Alinsky had looked at doing it. Actually written, the book is about how to tear down the United States. But Saul Alinsky envisioned doing it from outside the government, and doing all of these different things like trying to shut down businesses by taking advantage of their policies. You know, if Walmart just lets you give things back for free, well, give them everything you own and make them give you refunds, and then you buy that to buy new things, not at Walmart, but somewhere else, which you then bring back to Walmart for a refund and try to drive Walmart out of business. Those are the kinds of things Saul Alinsky was talking about, along with how to attack your political opposition. And what she was saying is we need to do these things, but not from outside of government to attack the government and to attack American institutions. No, we need to run for government positions, get as far up in the government as we can, and then use the ideas and rules for radicals to destroy the United States and our way of life from within. So Hillary Clinton, of course, then went on to marry Hillary Rodham at the time, then went on to marry Bill Clinton, rode his coattails up to be first lady. When he was no longer president, she became a senator, ran for the presidency in 2016. Such a bad candidate, she got destroyed by Donald Trump. Point is, what she wanted to do as president of the United States was to turn the government of the United States against the United States and try to take down our country by using the power of our own government against us. And we saw Barack Obama starting to do that. He could only get so far in 8 years because it was such a radical transformation. A radical transformation that he promised when he won the presidency. And even back in those days, there were a lot of things that were suppressed. Barack Obama, for example, very famously says that he taught a class in constitutional law at the University of Chicago. He uses that as, quote, fact that he is an expert in constitutional law. But understand that Barack Obama was never a tenured professor at the University of Chicago. He was only an associate professor. He was barely paid at all. Associate professors don't make a lot of money. He did this on the side while he was working as a community organizer in Chicago. Also understand that he was not teaching a class on constitutional law. His class was actually on practical uses of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals in political activism and political organization. So when he says that he taught a class on constitutional law, that's a blatant lie. He didn't teach a class in constitutional law. He still claims he did. He actually taught a class on rules for radicals and how to destroy the Constitution of the United States. Let's also not forget that Barack Obama is good friends with Bill Ayers, a professor at the College of Education at the University of Illinois in Chicago, who, along with his wife Bernadine Dom, a leader of the Weather Underground back in the 60s and 70s, used a pipe bomb that killed a number of people. It was a nail bomb to kill a number of people. Detonated another bomb at the Pentagon that, though luckily didn't kill anybody, did tens of thousands of dollars of damage at that time. These people were terrorists, and Barack Obama, incidentally, launched his successful presidential campaign from Bill Ayers' house. So this has been going on a long time. This new book is nothing new other than the book itself. The use of colleges to teach people to be radical and to encourage them to commit acts of terrorism has been going on as long as I've been alive. Hillary Clinton was going to school. She was Hillary Rodham before I was born. So it's been going on longer than I've been around. Saul Alinsky, you know, he wrote his books before I was even born. So I go back to the beginning, in 1971 was when I was born. So we're talking about more than 50 years. We're talking about getting into the 60s of years. This goes back almost as far as does the end of the Jim Crow era. And incidentally, it was the same party that was in favor of Jim Crow that as soon as they decided to allow Jim Crow to end and to back Republicans of the Civil Rights Act, immediately then turned around and began radicalizing students in school to try to overthrow and destroy the United States of America. We're talking about Hillary Clinton. We're talking about Barack Obama. You know, it used to be just on college campuses because the ideas were radical. And while people might listen to it in college campuses, most of them, once they graduate, they may be a little radical when they do, but, you know, the hippies turned into yuppies. They eventually voted for Ronald Reagan. So people, a lot of people outgrow this. They graduate college. When they see the real world, they begin to question what they were taught in college, and they begin to grow up. As Mark Twain put it, a young man who is not a liberal has no heart, and an old man who is not a conservative has no brain. Whether you appeal to somebody's heart when they're young, because they're young, they're energetic, they're idealistic, they want to make a change in the world. And I salute people who want to do that. I want to make a change in this world. I'm not young. I still want to make a change in the world. I'm still idealistic in the sense that I want to do that. The difference is, as I've gotten older, I've learned a lot of things. I've read a tremendous amount of history books. I've read a tremendous amount of economic books. I've studied lean manufacturing, so I understand systems thinking and how to see the world as a group of interrelated systems. When you see the world as systems, you begin seeing how all those those individual systems work, how they interoperate with each other to make bigger systems. You begin to see how complicated those systems are. And when you see how complicated those systems are, you begin to see how all these radicals coming out of college, in many cases still in college or even not in college yet, these radicals protesting in the streets. Now, they want to make radical changes to these systems without even understanding how these systems work and how they operate. I kind of like going to a light switch, flipping the switch, and the lights come on. But I don't think people appreciate just how complicated all of the things that go into making that happen are. So when America's youth start saying, well, we're just going to play around with these systems and radically change them, is that more likely to make things better or to make things worse? Well, common sense should tell us, and my education tells me, and really scientific studies tell us, that it is very, very difficult. It takes a tremendous amount of knowledge to be able to go into a complicated system and understand it well enough to improve it. Well, it doesn't take a whole bunch of knowledge. It doesn't take a whole bunch of research. It doesn't take anything at all to go in and screw it up. Anybody can make it so the lights don't work anymore. But to make it so that we get electricity more efficiently so that the lights don't take as much electricity or as much energy to operate, that's hard. So the people that are going in saying they're going to make everything better, they don't even know the systems they're playing with work, and what they're going to do is they're going to destroy it, which is fine with the people that have them out in the street protesting, because that's what they want. That's what Saul Alinsky was writing about. That's what blow up a pipeline is about. That's what Hillary Clinton was asking for and was actively working to do. Joe Biden, I don't even know if he's really the president. Obviously, he is the office holder. And we're going to see him fumble through a State of the Union address very shortly. And that's going to be interesting. I'm actually going to watch it as a comedic thing in my case. I don't think I would believe anything he said, even if I agreed with it. This guy has flipped his position, for example, on the border. Now he makes it sound like the reason that he is letting everybody in and telling the Department of Homeland Security and our Border Patrol agents not to do anything. He's tried to blame Republicans for that, which is asinine. But when he took office, we literally had a negative rate of illegal immigration with more people leaving and coming in. So, you know, it's entirely his fault to the degree that he knows anything anymore other than ice cream flavors. He knows it's his fault. But you know, rules for radicals, blame the other guys for what you're doing, and he's living that up very, very well. And as we get to that, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to get ready for our break. But as we get ready for our break, I want to tell you about this great product my wife and I have been using for about 3 weeks now called HealRight. HealRight help? Well, metabolic dysfunction, it turns out, affects about 87% of Americans, yet most people have never heard of even what it is. According to the NIH, this is when metabolic health markers like cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, or weight are out of whack. Often there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. HealRight is a ready-to-eat metabolic health bar with a synergistic blend of superfood ingredients to address the nutritional root cause of metabolic dysfunction in as little as 8 weeks without additional diet or lifestyle changes. It's not just effective, it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. And the first couple of weeks, I didn't even have any literature on it. I'm just telling you what I felt. I told you last week I actually feel more alert after I have taken a HealthRight bar or a HealRight bar. And I think I'm actually going to start taking it a couple of hours before I give my presentations. I think my brain is sharper. I probably talk a little bit more clearly, probably stutter a little less after I've taken the bar than I do before. HealRight can increase HDL cholesterol levels. That's the good cholesterol. I can tell you from personal experience, I just had blood work done. I hadn't taken a cholesterol pill in about 3 weeks because I ran out. My cholesterol levels right now are perfect. I've got great, good cholesterol, good low cholesterol, but also it promotes weight loss. It tackles diseases related to aging and obesity. It reduces insulin resistance. It increases your metabolism. And improvements start within 2 weeks, but studies show that they become particularly strong after about 8 weeks. So, you don't have to worry about the side effects of medications and figuring out how to stick to difficult diet and lifestyle changes. It'll beat metabolic dysfunction. Food, it turns out, can be your best medicine. And these things taste like a treat. They don't have that medicinal flavor, that chalky flavor at all. So it's like having a medicine without the side effects. You can step out of the statistics using food as a medicine. 7 of 8 Americans are metabolically unhealthy, and 6 in 10 suffer from at least one chronic disease. You can largely fix that just by eating one health bar a day. There are 15 years of research developed by world-renowned nutritional scientists, and they've got a 100% money-back guarantee, so you've got absolutely nothing to lose. With measurable improvements in just 8 weeks, and some smaller studies actually show that you begin to improve in as little as 2 weeks. That's what I showed. I showed about 2 weeks. It took me before I started feeling a difference. So you get 20-plus essential micronutrients, vitamins and minerals, a soluble and insoluble fiber for close to 25% of your total dietary needs in just one serving. You get omega-3 fatty acids. You get 6 grams of proteins and other building blocks for metabolic health. You get antioxidants, polyphenol-containing foods. They're only 250 calories per serving. It's not a meal replacement. You still have to eat. Yeah, this is a snack. It's not going to replace any of the meals that you have. But this actually works. So try HealRight today. Go to HealRight.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first purchase. That's code OUTLOUD at HealRight.com. 20% off, ladies and gentlemen. You've got nothing to lose. I'm using it myself. I've already felt impacts. I don't know if I've gotten any skinnier, but I feel the changes in my life, and I'm nowhere near the 8 weeks yet. My wife is using it too. She'll tell you she loves it as well. So use HealRight.com. Use HealRight. Go in there, put in the code, get your bars, and let's listen to our sponsors, and I will talk to you again after the break.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cutting Through the Chaos on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Wallace Garneau, and we're going to get right back into it. We're talking about terrorism and the 2024 election, the upcoming 2024 election. Now, I talked a bit about, in the first half of the show, about what terrorism is actually occurring, how it's being taught in our schools and things like that, mostly how it's being taught in our schools. Understand that even more recently than all of that, what some on the left have called the summer of love following George Floyd's death led to between $1 and $2 billion in property damage, according to insurance claims, and at least 25 deaths. Today we're seeing anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protests across our country calling for the genocide of the Israeli Jewish population and the destruction of the Israeli state. When people say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that's what they mean, is give it all to the Palestinians. And I've talked before about how the Israelis are Palestinians too. Palestine is an area that was called Palestine initially by the Romans because the Romans didn't want to call it Israel, which is actually the name of that area going back thousands of years. There has never in the history of mankind ever been a state called Palestine. And if we look at the area the Romans called Palestine, you know, Joe Biden saying he wants a two-state solution, there's actually already three states in the area the Romans called Palestine. You've got Israel, which of course was there back in the day. You've also got Jordan, which is on the other side of the Jordan River, but was a part of Israel back in the day, a part of what the Romans called Palestine. And then to the north, you've got most of what today is Lebanon. All three of those are Palestinian states, all three of those. So when people say, well, the Muslim Palestinians have a right to a homeland too, great, they got two today. They can go to Jordan and live in a 100% Palestinian Muslim state, or they can go to Lebanon, which used to be a free state for anybody of any religion where everybody got along great. And then when Hezbollah came in, they killed all of the Jews and all of the Christians. Now that, too, is a Muslim-only Palestinian state. So if you're a Palestinian Arab that you want to live, or a Muslim and you want to live in a Palestinian Muslim-only area, you got two choices without even leaving what the Romans called Palestine. So the notion of from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that's a genocidal notion. They're calling for violence against Jewish people there. They're calling for the genocide of the Jewish people there. And in some cases, these protesters in America, on American campuses, are calling for violence against Jewish people in the United States and for the destruction of the United States itself. And what's crazy is, when you listen to the mainstream media, they make it sound like it's radical right-wing groups that are attacking Jewish people. It's not. Jewish people are getting attacked in the United States today almost entirely by people on the left. It's the same thing with Asian Americans today. Is there discrimination against Asian Americans? Yes, there is. Are there attacks against Asian Americans? Yes, there are. Almost entirely by people who consider themselves Democrats and or vote for the left. This notion that the United States has been a uniquely evil place, which is what they teach in our colleges now, in some circles they say it's even worse than Nazi Germany, that's become a part of our popular culture. Polls show that more than half of those under 30 would like to radically change the basic nature of the United States, and while I've seen no polls indicating how many people want to use violence to achieve that, clearly our colleges are encouraging both the desire for radical change as well as the use of violence to achieve it. And there have always been people that have wanted to use violence to attack the United States. That goes all the way back to the Whiskey Rebellion when George Washington was still the president of the United States. So there have always been people that wanted to use violence to get their way or to force some kind of a political change or a political thing in the United States. But we've never seen numbers that are anywhere near as high in any previous time in American history as they are today. And these people lie to us going all the way back. Did anybody here vote for Barack Obama? I voted for him in 2008, so my hand is up in the air. I'll bet there's some other people here that voted for Barack Obama back in 2008 because he ran as someone that wanted to go back to Bill Clinton's economic policies. He was running against, he was running as John McCain, who wanted to continue with George W. Bush's economic policies. And while George W. Bush did not initiate the policies that led to the housing bubble and in turn led to the housing crisis, he did put the housing bubble on steroids and then did nothing to slow it down. So George W. Bush probably as guilty or more than anybody else for the housing crisis in 2008, as guilty as Barack Obama for what happened with the bailouts and everything. No, he was part. He started all of that, then Barack Obama took over and completed it. Point is, I did not want to see the policies that caused the housing bubble to continue forever. Bill Clinton, say what he wants about his sexual escapades in the Oval Office. If you look at the economic growth that started under Reagan, Bill Clinton economically was just as conservative as Ronald Reagan. He continued the same policies through. In 1992, he ran on a platform of the era of large government or big government is over. Bill Clinton's the most conservative president we have had since Ronald Reagan. And he was more conservative, I would say, than Trump was in 2016. Bill Clinton today isn't, but he was in 1992. You look at the policies he ran on in 1992. I mean, hell, he even ran on the slogan of Make America Great Again. There are buttons, Al Gore, Bill Clinton, Make America Great Again. You can buy those buttons on eBay. I mean, they're still out there. So, you know, I would say that he was to the right of where Donald Trump is in 1992. And that's what I wanted, was some sanity in economic policies. I didn't particularly want Bill Clinton. I wanted somebody a little more conservative than that. But I wanted sane economic policies, and I thought at the time that Barack Obama sounded better than John McCain. Sadly, as soon as Barack Obama won the Oval Office, as soon as he won the election, he immediately switched over to radical transformation. And we all know what happened next. The wheels came off the bus. Joe Biden now forcing Israel into a peace deal with Hamas that he knows Hamas has no intention of honoring. Now, the Israelis have accepted a two-state solution several times, in spite of the fact that even if Israel were to take over the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and the Golan Heights, you would still have three Palestinian states, three states in the area the Romans called Palestine. You would also have three states in that circumstance that would have defensible borders. Israel was never set up with defensible borders. For Israel to have defensible borders, they need to take the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and they need to take the Golan Heights. Otherwise, I'm sorry, people, it's not a defensible landmass. It's too easy to attack Israel. And yet they have accepted solutions, two-state solutions, over and over again throughout their existence. And every single time, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, they're rejected by the Arabs. So, you know, we're in election year. This is what's happening. Joe Biden was backing Israel. Now we're in election year. America's youth, the youth vote is absolutely critical to Biden. He has no chance of winning if college-age kids, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, up to maybe call it 25, 30-year-olds, he has no chance of winning if they don't show up in big numbers. So he has to say things to make them happy. If they say kill all the Jews, guess what? Joe Biden's going to run on kill all the Jews. As I said, that's the only thing missing from his platform to be Hitler's platform from 1932. Now he's running on that. Now he's running on, let's go ahead and start doing things to, let's appease the youth that want to destroy Israel. Sorry, folks, I'm just calling it the way it is. I'm giving you the out loud truth. Joe Biden is becoming, to the degree that he wasn't already, he is becoming even more similar to Adolf Hitler. And I know they say whoever calls out Hitler first loses the argument. Well, I didn't call him out first. The left have been calling Donald Trump Hitler for like 8 years now. So, you know, I'm just calling it the way I see it. And when I look at the policy, the Democrats have always had a platform very similar to Hitler's platform in 1932. And now all of a sudden they're out here talking anti-Semitic stuff. So they're starting to add in the only parts that were missing. You know, I'm just calling it the way I see it. If that pisses some people off, I'm sorry. It is the way it is, and I'm not going to say it any differently. The American left, I'm going to tell you this because this is historically important. It's historically true. I've written this in the past, too. I wrote an article years ago in which I said that fascism is socialism 2.0. That was actually the title of the article, Fascism is Socialism 2.0. Put that with my name, you'll see the article. I've actually challenged several times. If anybody can find anything, anything that is factually incorrect on this article, or even any factual omission, something I don't say but that is factually true, that would render this article false. If you can come up with it, if you can show me anything like that, I'll have the article taken down. I'll reach out to the editor and I'll say, you know what, delete this thing. Post retraction saying the article is wrong. Well, that article is still out there today because nobody was ever able to do it. The first sentence in the article, I say Mussolini realized when he took power that there was something wrong with communism. Somebody came in and said, well, you know, he actually realized that before that, so take the article down. My response was, it's possible to realize something more than once. You are going to have to do better to find something factually untrue. Because he did realize it then. It wasn't just wasn't the first time he realized it, and I didn't say it was the first time he realized it. Point is, I've been saying for 10 years, if you can find anything wrong with that article, I'll actually have it taken down. I've got the moral integrity and the moral courage. I'll actually say, take that article off the internet. Article's still out there because nobody's been able to do it. It is a factually accurate article, and it is absolutely true that fascism is socialism 2.0. It is an attempt to fix communism and actually make it work. That was what it was created to do. And FDR had a little bromance going with Mussolini, where Mussolini, their economy was starting to recover. This is before Hitler really had taken power. The economy in Italy was starting to recover from the Great Depression. FDR actually sent envoys out to Mussolini's Italy to figure out what he was doing. When they came back, they crafted together the National Recovery Act. You can look this up historically, the National Recovery Act of FDR. He began to implement it. It was declared unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court. He tried to stack the United States Supreme Court to do it anyway. The National Recovery Act was a copy of Mussolini's Italy. He was trying to bring fascism to the United States. FDR was an actual fascism trying to implement fascism. Do you know who's a fascist in America today? Elizabeth Warren's Accountable Capitalism Act is nothing more than a retread of FDR's National Recovery Act. Elizabeth Warren is an honest-to-God fascist. Joe Biden, he's a supporter we're seeing him trying to implement pieces of the Accountable Capitalism Act. It's actual fascism. This man is an actual fascist, based upon the actual definition of the word fascism as crafted by Giovanni Gentile, who was the Italian philosopher primarily responsible for inventing the concept of fascism. If you go to the guy that invented fascism and you say, where are the fascists? He's going to point to Benito Mussolini first. He's going to point to Franco in Spain second. He's going to point at some fascists that ran countries in South America in the 1930s and maybe the early 1940s. Franco in Spain, by the way, lasted into the 1980s. Spain was a fascist country into the 1980s until he died. Then he's going to point at Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, FDR. He's going to point at America's fascists, and not one of them is going to be a Republican. Not a single one. Even when you look at those that call themselves the alt-right, the Democrats point at and say, look, the right's got all the racists. Well, no, we don't. It turns out these people don't consider themselves a part of the American right at all, which is why they say the alt-right. The alt-right doesn't stand for conservatives. It stands for an alternative to the right in opposition to what the left wants to do. These people believe in socialism. These people believe and free health care. These people believe in all the same things that the radical left wants to give away. The only difference between a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist in America today and Black Lives Matter or Antifa are the groups that they want to be at the top of the pyramid. If you invert the pyramid that Black Lives Matter wants and you say we're going to put the white people on top, now you've got David Duke. The difference between David Duke and somebody, a radical leftist who wants a member of Black Lives Matter, the difference between those two people, it's not that they have different beliefs. They see the same pyramid. They just want the pyramid flipped over a different way. If you flip it on its head, you're one side. You flip it over the other way, you're the other side. Their beliefs are exactly the same. And I wish people could realize this. I wish the American people could see through all the bullshit, all the propaganda, and see the out loud truth. Because people, it's there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that believing that white people should be on top is only the only difference believing that and believing that black people or Hispanic people, people of color, whatever phrase you want to use, people, nobody should be on top. This is supposed to be a country where what you do is what matters. People say, you know, what is the intrinsic value of a human being? I'll tell you what the intrinsic value of a human being is. There isn't one. There was no intrinsic value to Adolf Hitler. The world would have been better if he had died in the womb. Maybe one of the few people that you can make a legitimate argument that in some cases you should abort a healthy fetus. Abort Hitler. All for it. I don't want you to abort everybody, but if you want to tell me you're going to have one abortion ever and it's Hitler, all I'm going to say is maybe you should add Stalin, Mao, and a handful of other people to the mix. Keep them from being born because they did so much damage to the world. But where do they come from? Where does that ideology arise? Where does it originate? People, it originates from the American left. Was Hitler on the right in Germany? Yeah, but that was a different country with a different culture. It had a different culture in the 30s than it has today. What is right and left is based upon what is conservative and what is the opposite of that. You want change on one side, you want to maintain the status quo on the other. If you want to roughly maintain the status quo, you're a conservative. Well, the status quo of Germany in 1932 was very different than the status quo of America today. They're not the same. Getting back to terrorism, though, who is it that the left says are the terrorists? Is it the people that are out committing actual acts of terrorism? No. It's parents that don't like what their kids are being taught. It's me speaking into this microphone. It's anybody that was marching in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. It's Donald Trump, probably the most investigated human being in human history that is yet to be found guilty of a crime. These are the people they're saying are terrorists. Joe Biden says that mega Republicans, I don't consider myself, by the way, a mega Republican. I'm a conservative. I line a hell of a lot better with mega Republicans than I do with Joe Biden. So guess where I'm voting. But anybody who's been listening to the show or reading my articles knows that I'm not a Trump slappy. I'm going to vote for Trump because in a limited choice of basically two people, he's the best one out there. And if you don't vote for Trump or Biden, you're just throwing your vote away. I'm sorry, your third party candidate, I know they don't like to hear that. For now, at least, it's true. Keep working between elections to not make it true. I wish there was a legitimate third choice, but if you're voting for somebody else, you're just taking a vote away from one of the two people with a legitimate chance of winning. I'm sorry, people, it's true. But this has been happening for a long time. What's happening now is that the government of the United States, instead of looking for external threats and saying, you know what, the radical Islam, that's the terrorists, now they're saying, no, you Christians, you're the terrorists. You concerned parents, you're the terrorists. You conservatives that don't want socialized health care, that don't want free food for everybody, that don't want free housing. You conservatives that when you hear phrases like the national retirement income, think maybe it's not a good idea to go after my 401k and socialize it. You're the terrorists. Now, usually terrorists are people that want to radically transform a country and use violent means to do it. Well, we know what our country has been since its founding. We can read the U.S. Constitution. That's what our country was founded on. So a conservative is somebody that wants to read or that wants to follow the United States Constitution. Newsflash, Hitler would have hated the United States Constitution, as would Stalin, as would Mao, as would anybody else that wants to kill millions of people, because the Constitution doesn't give the government the power to do that. People say, well, America had slavery. Yes, it did, unfortunately. What a wonderful world it would be If in 1776, or 1789 rather, when the Constitution was ratified, what a wonderful world it would be if the people that founded our country, that wrote, ratified the Constitution, would have had the wherewithal to see that by keeping slavery in there, they were undoing their own document. That they were, instead of making it so that eventually we would complete the process and give everybody liberty, that some people would look at it and say, take the liberty away. That's the message of the left. The message of the left isn't that it was bad, that it was wrong to enslave black people. No, their message is, why did you free them instead of enslaving everybody else? They don't see freeing black people as right. If they had, they would not have voted against the 13th and 14th Amendments. They would not have put in place Jim Crow and defended it for over 100 years. It was the Democrats that did that, and they're the fascists. Everything they do, they blame us for. They break what's going on the border, they blame us for it. Everything bad they're doing, then they blame us for it. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I've had enough of that. I've had enough of the blame. I've had enough. Calling me a terrorist, I'm sorry, that's a bridge too far. If you want to, you know, my advice to Joe Biden is, and it's as simple as this, and this is my closing thought before I get into the actual conclusion. Mr. Biden, if you're listening, Mr. President, I want you to hear this loud and clear. The best way to prevent an actual insurrection from occurring within the United States of America is to stop giving us legitimate reasons to commit one. I don't want to be an insurrectionist, but I also don't want to watch you and your party turn this country into a dystopia, whether it's a communist one, a fascist one, or some other bullshit. So that's my message. The outlined truth is that the bad people are the ones calling us bad, that we have every right to be angry. They may be out protesting in the street, but that should be us doing that. You know, let's cut through the bullshit. Let's cut through the propaganda. Let's cut through the chaos. And let's bring you the out loud truth. You've heard the message today. I think it's been a powerful message. Certainly, I'm fired up. Listen, I'm probably talking fast. I do that sometimes. I get fired up. Trying not to, I apologize if I am. But ladies and gentlemen, if it's Saturday and you heard this message, tell people to listen on Sunday. If it's Sunday, tell them to listen to the podcast. Get the out loud truth out there. Get loud. Get involved on America Out Loud. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week.